Well, folks are getting resettled. Just a note that what you experienced this morning, you will be experiencing throughout Lent, as different people that Jesus encountered in his ministry are interviewed, so that you might hear the scripture from their perspective. So I want to thank Tom Hinks, who has scripted all of those, taken scripture and turned it into script for us. So we can be grateful that he's willing to share his God-given gift for that. Jesus has been in the wilderness for 40 days. 40 days without food. 40 days without people. And now even for introverts, that's a long time. 40 days just wandering around the desert, wondering when this would end and what was next for him. Most of us are familiar with Jesus' encounter with the Prince of Darkness, as he related it to us today. In this time, Jesus is offered the opportunity to turn stones into bread, to have God save him from a deadly fall, and to take over the kingdoms of this world. And as we know, in each case, he resists, citing scripture to strengthen his position. Often, when faced with temptation, there is some kind of reward. We resist smoking and we become healthier. We resist gossiping or engaging in judgment, and we feel our hearts open and the freedom of loving the way God loves. We take the job that is meaningful to us, even if it's not as well paying, and know the satisfaction that comes from fulfilling a vocation and not just moving up a professional ladder. Almost every life decision we make holds a tempting choice, from the kind of car we buy or the size of our house to the kinds of people we have in our circle of friends. And for many of those choices, there are rewards for the faithful choice. That's the thing with Jesus, though, in this time in the wilderness. He resisted feeding himself and went away still starving. He resisted having angels save him, and yet he was still alone in the desert. He refused the road to power and authority, and instead was put on a path to the cross. Until his time was ended in the wilderness, when the angels did attend to him, he was still hungry, alone, and wandering. No reward. The choices Jesus made were very difficult ones. Later, he would perform, as I told the children, a miracle involving bread. But it would be to feed 5,000 others. He would use the power to rescue and heal, but it would be for lepers and widows and the blind. He would choose a path to glory, but it went first to a cross and a tomb, so that all might share in the glory of his kingdom. When he chose to exercise his divine power, it was always for others, not for himself. It can be hard to follow Jesus into this wilderness, for what he was offered by the Prince of Darkness was an easier way to his destination, one without suffering or hunger, one with great power. He was offered a shortcut, one that didn't mean pain and death. He was shown what today we would call the prosperity gospel, one that had instant gratification in exchange for loyalty. He would choose the knee-jerk reactions and leave the rest of the world behind. And each time he rejected that quick and easy path for a more difficult, longer road, a journey that would be frustrating at times, with setbacks and misunderstandings. And in the end, he ends up with a small group of fearful disciples who, when he leaves them, have no idea what to do next. That is what he chose, because that is what God chose for him. And he made these decisions in the worst possible conditions. He was starving, he was alone, and he was tired. And we all know not to make important decisions when we are this way. Never make big decisions in the first year of grief or when you are exhausted. For your perspective is skewed and your equilibrium is off and the ability to make wise choices is diminished. Shoot, I know I shouldn't even go to the grocery store if I'm hungry. Lord knows what I'll buy. And yet, when Jesus was at his most vulnerable, he was given a way out, an easy way out, and he chose not to take it. And while angels did attend to him as companions, those who would help strengthen him again, this would not be his last temptation at all. The Prince of Darkness certainly was not done with him. All along the way of his ministry, he would be tempted. He would be tempted when the Pharisees' attacks were relentless. How he might have longed to have had power over them. When the disciples were just not understanding the teachings and miracles, when they wanted to sit at his right and hand, left hand, how he must have wanted just to jump off the cliff and be rescued from all of this. When people were clamoring for healing and miracles, dogging him wherever he went, when he could not have a moment for himself, how he must have dreamed of a quiet meal of bread and wine, alone. No, all along the way in his ministry, those wilderness temptations nipped at his heels, reminding him that he could always go a different path. Not just during those 40 days. He had to resist those choices throughout his entire ministry. And each time he did resist the shortcut, the easy way out, the answer that served him best, he became stronger. His life and ministry remind us that this life of faith is not about getting a straight shot to heaven. Though, don't get me wrong, grace does abound. Nor is it about easy answers, though the great commandments are simple enough. No, the life of faith is about a rough road where others don't always understand or appreciate our path. It's about working hard to love and forgive when it would be so much easier to hold hate and anger. It is about putting aside our needs, the needs of me and mine, and putting ahead of that the needs of the world. When just taking care of my own, those I already know and love, would be so much more filling for us and certainly easier. Jesus reminds us that no matter where we are in our life, no matter our circumstances, where we find ourselves or those who surround us, there will always be the temptation to make it easier, to make it shorter, rather than to do the hard thing. And that sometimes we will be doing it when we are so tired, when we are feeling so alone, and when we are hungering for just one thing in our life to give us a break. Jesus knows that. God knows that. And Jesus gives us something to hold on to. He does that in the wilderness. He gives us scripture, the reminder that God's word tells us we're not alone in this. There is rest for the weary and heavy laden. There is food and drink that sustains in ways the world cannot provide. God does attend to us as we walk that rough road of faithfulness. Jesus walks it with us. We walk it with each other. We are provided what we need to resist the temptations that are set before us all the time. We begin this journey in Lent, reminded that temptation is a part of life. from our beginning to our end. And at times it will feel like we're wandering in the wilderness rather than going down a straight path. But God will not leave us or give up on us. We will be given what we need to have strength to resist the choices that do not lead us closer to God or that strengthen our faith. Not just once or twice, but every single time. All we need to do is turn to God, to repent, and we will find the strength we need. And the prince of darkness will be going back to find someone else to deal with. Here is one place where we will find it: the strength, the hope, the unity, at the table of our Lord. And once again, he feeds us, not himself. Amen. Our hymn, if you stand as you're comfortable, is "When We Are Tested," number 783, "In Glory to God." And this is another one of those infamous hymns that the pastor chose for the words, but again, our music director has assured me that it's singable.